That which.
That which.
Atra.
Atra.
Under the circumstances.
Under the
circumstances.
Yuktam.
Right cause.
Right cause.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
O great one.
O great one.
Vardet.
Vardet.
May kindly enlighten.
May kindly enlighten.
Na.
Na.
Us.
Us.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vidura said. No, I'll read first, then we can. Vidura said, O great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. Repeat after me. Vidura said,
Vidura said,
O great sage,
everyone in this world
engages in fruitive activities
to attain happiness.
But one finds neither satiation
nor the mitigation of distress.
On the contrary,
one is only aggravated
by such activities.
Please, therefore,
give us directions,
on
how one
should live for real happiness.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantika Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Translation again. Vidura said, O great sage, everyone in this world engages in fruitive activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. Yesterday we started this new chapter, chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. And I think it'll be good if we can quickly summarize what happened in the first four chapters so that we can flow with it. Oh, sorry. Too excited. Thank you. Okay, the purport. Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions, which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord, his name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, entourage, etc. And thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of his life under the influence of the illusory energy. In illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruitive activities. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction and does not find any solution to the problem of life. There is a nice song in this connection. Because of a great desire to have all happiness in life, I built this house. But unfortunately, the whole scheme has turned to ashes because the house was unexpectedly set on fire. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world. But the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. The fruitive worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. So as I was saying, we are beginning a new chapter here. I got this thing stuck in my throat. It's not moving. Excuse me. So I think it's best that we do a quick summary of the first four chapters to bring us to this common page where we are, so that you can link up to what today's verse and purport is about. So the Pandavas, they returned from exile. And they came back to claim their rightful land. This was in Dhritarashtra's palace. Dhritarashtra called Vidura for good counsel to find out how to actually decide on that. So Vidura said, okay, they have done their bit, they have done their penance and all that, so do the right thing of giving the land that was due to them. And Duryodhan, offense personified, he was there. So he got very angry and he insulted Vidura with very hurtful, harsh words. Vidura then took that as a blessing, as Krishna's arrangement, and he decided to leave the palace. So when he left the palace, he decided to go on a long, long, long pilgrimage for many, many, many years. And he was covering all the various holy places, Mathura, Ayodhya, Prabhas. And he felt that he needed to purify himself before he could get the darshan of the Lord. At that time, the Lord was still present in the material world. And as he was traveling on all his pilgrimage and all that, he heard in Prabhas that the Yadu dynasty had been annihilated and they had left. And then he ends up on the bank of the Yamuna River, where he meets Uddhava. Now, how did Uddhava come to be there? Even before we talk about Uddhava, let's talk about the Lord, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, as we know, descended or appeared in Mathura upon the prayers of Bhumi Devi and Lord Brahma, because at that time Bhumi Devi was suffering because of too much of demoniac influence. She prayed, she went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma then, with the demigods and Bhumi Devi, went to the shores of the Milk Ocean and they prayed. The Lord appeared. He appeared in Mathura. And from there he was taken to Gokul. And Gokul, he had his pastimes killing demons. And from Gokul, they moved him to Vrindavan. And from Vrindavan, he then moved to Mathura to liberate evil Kamsa. After liberating evil Kamsa, then there was the Kurukshetra pastime. And after that, he actually took on the subordinate role as a king of Dwaraka. And he took a subordinate role because Ugrasen was the king of Dwaraka. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was the emperor of earth at that time. He was already installed. So then Lord Brahma came to the Lord in Dwaraka and said, "My dear Lord, if you desire, you may return to your abode because your reason for coming is almost complete. Demons are almost like all gone, and from here on we can take over through your blessings." So the Lord then starts his Mausala Lila, his wind up pastimes, to depart from the material world and to return to his abode. So he tells Uddhava, and who is Uddhava? Uddhava is a spotlessly pure devotee, very, very, very perfect, okay, very, very dear to Krishna. From his young age, he was always with Krishna. He was very attached to Krishna, even when he was 5 years old, playing with Krishna dolls and all that. So the Lord gave him special instructions because the Lord wanted Uddhava to continue preaching. The Lord said, there are going to be bad omens happening from now on in Dwaraka. So you go to Badrik Ashram where Nara Narayan and Rishi and the devotees are there. You take their association. Leave Dwaraka. Now, given that Uddhava was so attached to the Lord, he couldn't bear the separation. But, setting an example for us, he took the instructions, he actually obeyed the instruction, and he started his journey for Badrik Ashram. But because of unbearable separation, he comes back to Dwaraka. But when he comes back, the Lord has left Dwaraka. Lord has actually gone and he has started his leela with the Yadu dynasty to liberate them at Prabhas Chaitra. Uddhava follows. Uddhava goes looking for the Lord. Okay? Goes looking for the Lord and he finds the Lord sitting under a young banyan tree. His right foot on his left thigh. His four-handed form with his long hands extending down to his knees, wearing yellow silk garments, looking very peaceful, cheerful mood, and his color is blackish. So resting his back against a young banyan tree, Uddhava appears. So when Uddhava appears, by the Lord's arrangement, Maitreya Muni also appears there. And who is Maitreya Muni? Maitreya Muni is actually a disciple of Parashara Muni. Now, he is actually not a pure devotee, but by the will of providence, it's like being at the right place at the right time. And Prabhupada calls this Agyata Sukirti, where we get accidental merit, which we don't deserve. So he comes there too. So if you visualize this, the Lord is there resting against the banyan tree and Uddhava is there in front of the Lord and Maitreya also comes there. So at this point, the Lord now starts to reveal very, very confidential instructions to Uddhava. And while the Lord is actually addressing Uddhava, Maitreya Muni is seated there next to Uddhava and listening too, with his head down, shoulders lowered. He's listening attentively. So in the process of hearing all these very confidential instructions, Maitreya Muni also becomes purified. So after that, Uddhava leaves. He circumambulates the Lord and weeps. He cries. He can't bear the separation. He circumambulates, takes the Lord's, he pays his obeisances and he leaves. He goes on his journey to Badrik Ashram. And Maitreya also leaves. So as Uddhava is on his way to Badrik Ashram, he comes to the banks of River Yamuna where Vidura is. This is where the meeting between Uddhava and Vidura takes place, where Vidura actually questions in a very personal way. He asks Uddhava, how is so-and-so, how is this person, that person. The relationship between Vidura and Uddhava is very personal. Now, Vidura is older in age. Uddhava is younger. So, when Uddhava hears all this, he goes into ecstasy. Vipralamba Bhava, he feels that and he actually cries in separation and he then regains his composure. Uddhava then gives Vidura some insight as to actually what happened. He tells about how the Lord's pastime has all happened, how the Lord has departed and all that. And finally, he tells Vidura that, look, at the time the Lord was leaving, he actually remembered you too. Vidura was very overcome by that and he shed tears. Then Vidura asks Uddhava, please tell me, what were those confidential instructions that the Lord revealed to you at the place where he was resting under the young banyan tree? And very interestingly, Uddhava was very qualified. He could have revealed everything. But he did not want to commit the offense of what we call maryada vyatikrama, meaning impertinently surpassing a greater personality. Impertinently surpassing a greater personality means he didn't want to rudely engage in instructing someone who was elder. That's the etiquette. Always, whenever we are in the presence of someone who is elderly, especially on a one-on-one basis, okay, in the presence of someone elderly and when we are younger in age, it is not proper to impart instructions. Even though we may know all the instructions, even though we may be equipped with the knowledge. So, Uddhava says, I can't tell you, even though I can, I won't tell you. Please go and take this instruction from Maitreya. Now, Maitreya is a very elderly person. So, on the same par in terms of age with Vidura. So, Uddhava tells that. And that's why, as we read in this verse, in the purport, second line, Prabhupada here says, Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord. That explains why Uddhava actually didn't reveal all the confidential information. So then Vidura leaves Uddhava from the banks of river Yamuna and he continues his pilgrimage. He comes to the banks of river Ganga. When he comes to Ganges, who is there? Maitreya Muni is there. So this is where now it brings us to this point where Vidura is actually engaging in a new topic of conversation with Maitreya Muni. In the first four chapters, it was mainly about direct talks about the Lord. But here, from here on, right up to the end of Canto 4, it opens up various topics about subject matters contained in a Purana. Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, has got 10 subject matters. And one of it is creation. So from here on, it opens up this topic about creation. But even before that, we got to see, as I said earlier, the relationship between Vidura and Uddhava was one of something very personal. But here, we see that Vidura is taking the role of, the relationship between Vidura and Maitreya is one of Guru Shishya. Where Vidura is actually taking the role of a student and Maitreya is taking the role of the Bhagavatam speaker. So here again he's teaching us, when we actually have this kind of one-on-one receiving and giving of knowledge, number one, Vedic etiquette must be upheld. Then we also hear that we got to know the qualities, the qualifications of the speaker. So in this case, is Maitreya qualified? We know he is. Why? He was there with Uddhava when the Lord was revealing all the confidential instructions. So definitely on that point, he is qualified. But more than that, he had also heard the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam from his spiritual master, Parashara Muni, who in turn had heard it from his guru, Sankhyayana Muni, who in turn had heard it from Sanat Kumar, who in turn had heard it from Lord Shankarshan himself. So he's definitely qualified in that sense. And speaking the Bhagavatam means it's all about glorifying the Lord. We sit on the Vyasa Asan, Vyasa San, the seat of Lord Vyasa, Vyasa Dev. It is a very, very responsible situation to be in, actually. It is not to be taken lightly. When anyone sits on a seat like this, we are only to glorify the Lord and His devotees. The whole goal is to impart the message of God, to awaken the dormant love that is in the heart of the listeners. Of course, in this age, we are not qualified. Our gurus are. Anyone sitting here today on the Vyasa San is simply an instrument of Srila Prabhupada. We are just Srila Prabhupada's mouthpiece, nothing more. Our job sitting on the Vyasa San is simply to parrot, to repeat what Prabhupada has documented, what he has spoken, what our gurus have spoken, nothing more. It is not a stage, it's not a platform where we actually propagate our personal propaganda. We don't need to actually announce our personal agenda. That's very offensive. So then we have the receiver. Vidura in this case is a receiver of the Bhagavatam. Now think about it, he's already a perfect devotee, as we read in yesterday's verse. He's already perfect. So why should he be actually inquiring, why should he be playing this role of a Shishya, asking Maitreya Muni all these questions about real knowledge? It is simply for the welfare of mankind, for our own benefit. This whole Leela is actually to teach us how to hear the Bhagavatam, how to speak the Bhagavatam, and how to approach the Bhagavatam. Okay. So in receiving, of course, he can straight away, given that he's a perfect devotee, he can straight away just jump into the crux of the whole Bhagavatam, which is Lord Krishna himself, and talk about Canto 10. Tell me everything about the Lord's personal pastimes and all that. But no, here again, he starts with, this is where he says, Prabhupada says, Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions which was not originally his intention. What are the common questions? The common questions here is actually starting with asking about creation. So it's simply saying that before we can jump into reading the Bhagavatam straight away to Canto 10, we got to read Bhagavatam systematically. That's why Prabhupada established a systematic study approach to read the Vedic literatures. Here in Melbourne, we've got classes where we start off with Nectar of Instruction, Bhakti Shastri, where we read the Bhagavad Gita, and then we progress to the Bhagavatam, okay, Bhakti Vaibhav and Bhakti Vedanta and all that. So, but there is a systematic approach, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we move. And in that, we go in a manner where it increases our knowledge of where we are and takes us closer to Krishna step by step. So he's asking common questions like, tell me about creation. Creation is material. Okay? And material means we got to know about matter in relation to spirit. But before that, we got to first come back to this Guru-Shishya relationship. So in Bhagavad Gita, we know in 4.34, chapter 4, text 34. What's the verse? Tatvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service to him. Self-realized soul can impart knowledge to us because they have seen the truth. Right? So, taking a guru is the bridge that connects us to Krishna. Only by the mercy of Krishna, we find a guru. And by the mercy of guru, we get closer to Krishna. So it is so, so important having a guru in our life, a spiritual master to guide us. Prabhupada says in that same text, spiritual life in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, he starts that purport with the first line saying, spiritual life is undoubtedly difficult. So anything difficult, especially spiritual life, we need the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. It is so important, this is so important that Krishna himself took a guru. He set the example. Who is Krishna's guru? Sandipani Muni. Not only that, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna came back as Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya took a guru. Who's that? Ishvara Puri. Okay. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was, before taking initiation from his guru, of course we know he was small Nimai, very naughty Nimai, you know, very mischievous, playing pranks on everyone, going to the Ganges River and throwing sand on the Brahmanas, bathing there, and all sorts. And then as he was growing, he was becoming very scholarly, a pandit. He was like a professor in Vedic scriptures. But the moment he took initiation, he changed. He became serious, he became grave. Love of Godhead started manifesting more. He started revealing more and more. And he started to give this mercy unlimitedly from the point he got initiated. That's why initiation is a serious, serious affair. Initiation means the beginning of our devotional life. It is actually the opportunity for us to change our consciousness. If we take initiation and don't seriously attempt to change our consciousness, what's the point of taking initiation? And Lord Chaitanya is actually displaying how to become serious after getting initiation. So he was going around liberally, mercifully, just unlimitedly giving to everyone, no qualification, no discrimination, everybody was receiving it. Navadip didn't see so much of this, but the Lord, when he was going on his tours, especially the tour of South India, okay, he was giving this even more. South India, he went there and liberated everyone, made everyone Vaishnavas. There's a pastime where he actually went to this place, Kurumakshetra, in South India tour, where he's singing, he's dancing, he's chanting, he is crying in ecstasy, he's laughing in ecstasy, he's displaying all the symptoms of ecstasy, and he's just giving, giving, giving. And he would go and embrace people, and people would be so surcharged, they would go embracing others, and like that, more and more people were getting surcharged with the love of Godhead. And there was this pastime where he went to Kurumakshetra, a place called Kurumakshetra, and there is this Brahmana called, coincidentally, Kuruma, at that place. And it's a family man where this Brahmana then serves the Lord, feeds him nice prasad and all that. And the Brahmana, who's a householder, gets so attached to Lord Gauranga, where he wants to actually follow the Lord on the Lord's pilgrimage, tour of South India. The Lord says, no, you don't leave your ashram. Renouncing something that you don't like is Marka Vairagya, monkey Vairagya. Okay, you don't have to leave your ashram. Okay, you got your duty as a grihastha. You look after your family. You chant, you give them the philosophy, and you make your family Krishna conscious. So we don't have to leave our families. All right? But more importantly, there is this related pastime where the Lord also gives liberation to the Brahmana Vasudeva, who is suffering from leprosy. Leprosy is a very, very debilitating disease. Very, how shall we describe this? It's horrid. Okay. Wounds, sores all over the body, open wounds, worms crawling on his body. This is the Brahmana Vasudev. Okay. But this Brahmana, with all these open sores and wound on his body and suffering from leprosy, was still very highly elevated. He saw the soul in every body. Pandita Samadarshana. Everybody was equal to him. Very, very super surcharged his consciousness. So he heard the Lord was in Kurmakshetra and he came looking for the Lord. But by the time he came, the Lord had left. And he was like so despondent. But the news got to Lord Gauranga that there is this elevated Brahmana suffering from leprosy who is actually so despondent. The Lord then comes back to Kurmakshetra. He comes back, he embraces the Brahmana who is suffering from leprosy with all the wounds. The wounds that the Brahmana was so elevated, when a worm fell out from his open wound, he would pick up the worm and put it back in the very same spot where it fell out from. Oh, my dear worm, come back. That elevated. But notwithstanding, not disregarding all that, the Lord did not see the externals. He embraced that leper-ridden Brahmana. Through that, the Lord liberated him. He, of course, got cured. But that's not amazing. What is amazing is, can you imagine in our devotional life, if God actually comes to embrace us, we get a hug from the Lord? How would that be? In this lifetime, the nearest we can come to the Prabhus, sorry, not for the Matajis, the nearest we can come to is where we get a hug from our spiritual master. I'm not sure how many of you have got that, but if ever you get it, it's a special boon. Never ever forget that. It should surcharge us to be even more Krishna conscious. So, this was how serious initiation is. This is how serious relationship between Guru Shishya is. Vidura and Maitreya are actually displaying this relationship for us, for our own welfare. Vidura starts asking him common questions like, okay, tell me about creation. Because he says he could have asked, where is that? Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truth concerning the Lord. His name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, entourage. He should have asked only about the Lord. But he did not immediately ask about the Lord. Out of natural humility, he progressively started with smaller topics. He asked about creation. Creation means matter, as I said earlier, and matter means we got to first understand where this matter is coming from. Okay, before you can understand spirit, you got to understand matter. The Lord has three primary energies. What are the three? Antaranga Shakti, his internal energy, which is spiritual. Okay, all his energies are spiritual, but he displays this Antaranga Shakti in his spiritual abode. Then we've got Tatastha Shakti, marginal potency, which is mainly us. We display that. And then he's got his Bahiranga Shakti, which is his external potency. So through the interaction of all these three energies, through the interaction of these three energies, the Lord actually controls everything. Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. We being marginal potency beings, having marginal energy, our rightful place is to be under the control of Antaranga Shakti, the internal energy of the Lord, to be in the spiritual world. But we are controlled, we have actually left the spiritual world, we have come to the material world, we are now controlled by the Lord's external energy. Okay, and this is the illusory energy, Maya. And we are now just going through this whole cycle of Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi. Birth, death, old age, disease. So it is not our rightful position to be in this material world. Our goal is to go back. Our prayojana is to go back to where we came from, to the spiritual world. And as we learned about matter, we learn about how creation came to be, how Purusha avatars all came to manifest and created the material world for us. We also then learn about how our connection is to Krishna. But as we learn our connection to Krishna, it doesn't mean we can understand Krishna. Prabhupada says here, a common man cannot understand the Lord. Because if there is anyone who can understand the Lord, that person who understands the Lord has to be God. There are many in the material world today who claim to be God. But no one actually can understand the Lord. He is inconceivable, achintya. Think about this. How can we understand that God is a simple cowherd boy playing with his friends in Vrindavan? And while he's playing at the same time, he is in control of the whole of creation, including all the beings in creation. How can we understand that God, Swayam Bhagavan, is simply a 7-year-old boy showing his majesty, strength, lifting a mountain with his little left pinky finger? We can't. Prabhupada never said, try to understand Krishna. He always said what? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. We can't even understand God. How can we understand God's Purusha avatars? Garbhodaya kashaya Vishnu, Karanayadaya kashaya Vishnu, Chirodaya kashaya Vishnu. How can we understand his incarnations? Try telling someone out there, my God Krishna took the form of a half man, half lion, and he came out from a stone pillar and he killed this demon. He tore his abdomen, took all the entrails and put it around his neck. That's my God. Try telling that to someone. You might get reported, they might put you in a straitjacket. How can we understand the Lord's incarnation as Lord Varaha actually came out from Lord Brahma's little nostril, the size of the tip of a thumb, and then immediately becomes a gigantic size, flying around in the sky, diving into the ocean to lift up Mother Earth, who was in the depth of the ocean? And this is just his incarnation. We can't even understand his Prajapati, Lord Brahma. There's this pastime when the Lord was ruling Dwaraka, Lord Brahma went to see him. The doorman said, went to the Lord and announced Lord Brahma's arrival. Lord Krishna asked the doorman, which Brahma has come to see me? Doorman went back to Lord Brahma waiting to enter. And he said, my dear Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna is asking which Brahma you are. Lord Brahma was puzzled. What is this? Please tell the Lord, I am the four-headed Brahma and I am the father of the four Kumaras. So the doorman went back to the Lord and said, he announced, it's a four-headed Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras. Okay, let him in. Lord Brahma came in. And the Lord asked him, so why are you here? Why have you come to see me? Lord Brahma says, my Lord, before I can answer that question, before I can answer that, please help clear a doubt. The doorman actually asked me, which Brahma I am? Why did you actually ask that question? Do you mean there is more than one Brahma within this universe? Lord Krishna looked at Lord Brahma, very mildly he smiled, and then he went into meditation. When he went into meditation, instantaneously, many Brahmas started appearing. 10-headed Brahma, 20-headed Brahma, 100-headed Brahma, 1,000-headed Brahma, 100,000-headed Brahma, 1,000,000-headed Brahma, 10,000,000-headed Brahma. They all started appearing. Many Shivas started, Lord Shiva started appearing together. Many Lord Indra started appearing together with eyes all over their bodies. But the amazing thing is, Lord gave only 4-headed Brahma the vision to see all this. Every other Brahma, every other personality who came, they were thinking they were getting the personal darshan of the Lord. So then they all asked the Lord, "My Lord, you have summoned us. How can we serve you?" The Lord said, "No, I just called you to see whether you all are happy. You all are happy? Okay, go back." 4-headed Brahma felt so insignificant. Then he pays his obeisances and said, "My Lord, I cannot understand your inconceivable energy." There are many who say that I know you. But as far as I'm concerned, I do not know you. Then the Lord mercifully explains to 4-headed Brahma, "My dear Brahma, your universe only extends for 4 billion miles. It is the smallest. And that is why you got only 4 heads. But there are many, many, many more larger universes. There are universes which extend to millions of miles. Sorry, not millions. Many more billions of miles larger than you. 10 times bigger, 20 times bigger, 30 times bigger. And depending on the size of those universes, the Brahmas over there have the number of heads to help them govern. And all this is just 1/4 of my external energy. Can we even imagine how the remaining 3/4 of the spiritual world is going to be like? Inconceivable, amazing. Who can understand the Lord? The 4 Kumaras, they too were perplexed. Lord Brahma, when he created them, he said, "Go forth and multiply. We want progeny." They said, "Thank you very much. We want liberation. We are walking." They went on their way. Okay. When they went on their way, they went through all over, went to the through the gates of Vaikuntha, came to the 7th gate. And what happened there? There was this pastime with Jai Vijay. And the Lord came. At that point, they were still impersonalists, wanting to merge into the Brahman effulgence. But when the Lord came, the mere aroma of tulsi leaves on the Lord's lotus foot changed them to bhaktas who wanted personal devotional service. They can't understand. We can't understand. We can't understand the Lord. We can't understand his avatars. We can't understand his creations. We can't understand Lord Brahma. We can't understand 4 Kumaras. Even Uddhava said, the Lord, when he was present, In just walking around, the Yadus couldn't understand that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They only saw him as the all-pervading Paramatma. Even they can't understand. Can we even understand our Acharyas? Can we understand Prabhupada? Can we understand our own spiritual master? All the way down, we cannot understand. The only thing we can try to understand is look in the mirror. Understand ourselves. Only when you look in the mirror and start questioning, who am I? What am I doing here? Where did I come from? What is this all around me? All these material beings. Why do they look like the way they look? Only when this sort of inquisitiveness arises, then the journey of searching truth, real knowledge, and searching for real happiness begins. We are very fortunate that in this lifetime, that we have got this opportunity to be connected to the Srila Prabhupada's movement. The Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan movement, somehow by some causeless mercy we got connected and we have got the opportunity to do devotional service. And we don't know how valuable this devotional service is to us. The only thing is we got to just, as I said, we got to take it seriously. We got to take our life seriously. The only thing that we need in devotional service is surrender. To the extent we surrender, to that extent the Lord reciprocates. In fact, every day the Lord is reciprocating with us. It's just that we don't recognize it or we take it for granted. The mere fact that we are given the chance to wake up in the morning to come to temple and take his darshan and serve another 24 hours, that is already the Lord's reciprocation to us. But do we acknowledge or even meditate on that? We don't. We take it for granted. There's so many out there who are not as fortunate as us. So, as much as we surrender, that much the Lord would reciprocate. Gajendra was caught by this crocodile. We know the pastime. Yeah, the crocodile was in the water, Gajendra's foot was in the mouth. You know, this battle was going on to and fro. Sometimes Gajendra was winning, he was pulling the crocodile out. Sometimes the crocodile was winning, he was pulling him in. Okay. Eventually, after 1,000 years of battling, everybody was watching. Okay. The crocodile was winning. Why? Because he was rightly situated in his environment. Gajendra was a land animal, but he was weakening. He was being pulled into the water. He was resisting, trying to do it his own way, fighting. Finally, when he realized that he was losing, what did he do? He surrendered. He surrendered in a prayerful mood to the Lord, and the Lord immediately reciprocated, came and chopped off the crocodile's head. We are not rightly situated in this material world. It's not our place. We can go on fighting. We need to let go. We need to surrender. Draupadi was being humiliated. She was being disrobed. She was holding on to her clothing, resisting. Finally, when she surrendered to the Lord took care. Protected her. So, devotional service is a God-sent privilege. And if we continue reading in this purport here, Prabhupada says, in illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruitive activities. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction and does not find any solution to the problem of life. Every day we go through this. Okay, the law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world. The key phrase is planning in the material world. We make all great plans, wonderful plans. Okay? But the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. Interestingly, I give you a mundane example. Who has heard of this Chinese company called Alibaba.com? Wow, many hands. Okay. Alibaba.com is actually owned by a man called Jack Ma. Okay. Now, he is worth $28 billion. Now you would think if our struggle in material life, if every day we get up and running here and there, is to actually gain wealth, to have some money, thinking that, oh, with the money I think I can then retire and serve Krishna fully. Okay, we all chase this wealth. If that is indeed the solution, a man with $28 billion, you would think he has had enough, sufficient, and therefore should retire. On 11th of November, they had a sale, this Alibaba.com. This was a recent news report I read. Okay. And they called it a singles promotion. That sale is called singles sales. Okay. Why? 11th of November, 1111. These Chinese are very superstitious with numbers and all that. 1111. So single sale. That one day, the sales made was phenomenal. Billions. Just in that one day. So you would think a man as rich as him would give up and say, all right, okay, I've had enough. But interestingly, he says, I'm not happy. I'm not happy because I feel all the pressure of all this responsibility that I have now. So many people working for me and all these operations which I got to manage. And everybody is now asking me for money, whichever way I go. And he says, my biggest challenge, my biggest problem is I find that spending money is more difficult than making money. He's got a new problem. One entanglement after another. No chance. Material world, we have got no chance. The only thing we can do is take shelter of the lotus feet of our guru, take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and through guru, sadhu, shastra, try to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. In fact, sometimes I meditate. This is me. I'm just sharing my personal meditational thoughts. Sometimes I wonder, should I even go back to Godhead if I'm given the opportunity? Because when we take initiation, at least my spiritual master, he asked me, before he initiated me, he said, will you help me spread, will you help me fulfill Prabhupada's mission? Of course, at the time of initiation, you want the beads. Yes, Maharaj. You want the beads. So if you have taken a vow like that from your spiritual master, and if the spiritual master is going around liberating all these conditioned souls, shouldn't we be following our spiritual master wherever he goes in wherever lifetime to assist him in his mission of liberating all these conditioned souls? Should we leave our spiritual master behind and we go first? That's how I meditate. I'll be happy if I can be given the chance to just follow my spiritual master wherever he goes to try and fulfill Srila Prabhupada's mission. That to me would be real happiness. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Everybody's very quiet. All right. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.